Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
That's right. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Tim Hasselbeck on the Goodyear Hotline in a half hour. In just a couple of minutes, I will explain how the biggest sporting event of the weekend wasn't a sporting event at all, and that is really important. But first, we've gotten sidetracked by a couple of things that we need to address here very quickly. The first of them is this. The legendary Liam has sent some additions to the Beatles list. So today's green list, which was brilliant, was just a compilation, and I think we did like 22 of them, of Beatles songs that you could Chris Bermanize, which is you could make them be about sports. So some of our favorites were Penny Lane Kiffin, Oh Ron Darling, And Your Larry Bird Can Sing, Daryl Strawberry Fields Forever. Liam added a few that were not on the original list. Sergeant Julius Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Polythene Pam Shriver, All You Need Is Davis Love the Third, and Abby Wambach Road. So we got to get all those in. So first and foremost, we got all of that. So those are the Beatles Berman-esque sports references. We needed to get that in because I enjoyed it. The second is, I think we need to get to the bottom. I'll make this one question.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
We made an analogy, and it's not worth going down the road of how we got there. But ultimately, it led to one question, and I'm going to bring it up now to the group. Hembo claims that somewhere on planet Earth, tell me if I'm misrepresenting your position.
Okay.
Somewhere on planet Earth, there is a person who has purchased an engagement ring without making up a decision on who it is he or she is going to give that ring to, but just wants to have it handy in case.
I think that is entirely possible, if not likely.
I think that is stunningly unlikely as to being borderline impossible. So let me ask a single man, hashtag Bubba, who you may not know is thrice divorced. But Bubba, in your single life, could you envision a scenario in which, without having chosen the person to whom you will give an engagement ring, you would just buy one and have it?
Could I envision myself doing that?
Yes.
No.
Can you envision anyone doing it?
Could I envision anyone doing that? Absolutely.
Thank you, Bubba.
I want a name. Give me a name. I want to know one person you know, a human being whom you've met.
I don't know, but that's not the question. The question is anyone in the world. Could someone be? Absolutely. I bet there's multiple people doing that.
No. No way. There's zero chance. Tweet at us. Hashtag Greeny.
People if you are or insane. Someone. I bet there's countless people who do that.
No, not countless. I'm going to say there are none or at tops one.
I bet someone will tweet in right now saying they do that.
But they can tweet anything they want. You can tweet and say anything you want. You can, as I've said before.
Okay, that's fair.
You can drive a car with your feet if you want to. It doesn't make it a good idea. So the point is, I believe people will tweet that, but I question their veracity. Hashtag Devin, you're a young man. Are you married?
I'm not, no.
Okay. Do you own an engagement ring?
I do not.
Why not?
Because I don't have a significant other right now.
Right. You don't have anyone to give it to. You haven't picked out the person you're going to give it to, and thus it would be insane to already own one.
With that said, I'm with Bubba.
You're with Bubba because you don't have the sense that of anything. Let me get one more. Nuno, which side of this do you find yourself on?
I think anyone who does this, or what Hembo's suggesting, will be featured on Law & Order eventually.
Okay, that's very well done. All right, again, I think that if you do that, then I think it's insane.
All right. The Scoop.
I want to get to the scoop. So I came across this tweet from Ben, is it Fox or Fawkes?
Ben Fawkes.
I like him. Ben Fawkes. He's our gambling guy, and I'm becoming more and more interested in gambling professionally because it is becoming an increasingly significant part of our industry, and I think I have a responsibility to understand it better. In my lifetime, I grew up going to the track. I know a lot about betting on horses, and then like everybody else, I would every now and again place a bet on football, but I never was particularly involved in gambling, and that is why I have Hembo, who is my vice president of gambling, and I follow all the guys that we have, Purdom and Fawkes and all these guys who tweet about gambling. And he tweeted the following. The boxing match between Ben Askren and Jake Paul was the most bet boxing match of 2021. Now, I'm aware of what happened this weekend. Jake Paul knocked out Ben Askren in the first round because my son and his friends were obsessed with this. I had dinner with Stevie on Saturday night. He blessed us with his presence. He doesn't deign to hang out with us much, but he had an early dinner with Stace and me before he went. And all he talked about was this fight. He and all his friends were getting together, and they were all watching this. So the biggest sporting event of the weekend wasn't really a sporting event. It was a show. It was dripping with celebrity. And that speaks volumes about our culture. The people who run the big sports leagues in America today should be paying close attention. Again, all these 18-year-old kids were obsessed with this. Do you know who aren't regular sports fans the way they used to be? 18-year-old kids. This is the number one reason why the NFL has navigated this tricky course more effectively than other sports. Because young people want two things today. They want an event, and they want to be part of it. Let's start with the event. Football has 16 games. Now it's going to be 17 games. I have said repeatedly, be careful how many you add because the scarcity of product is the number one thing NFL has going for it. Number one is that every game feels important. And the problem the other major sports have, no matter what else they do, is that their games don't all feel like events. You can't convince me that if I miss this, and I'm missing anything that really matters. It may be entertaining. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. At some point here, I think I'm going to sneeze, which is distracting me.
God bless you.
I may be entertained by watching this, but I don't feel there's an urgency in the event that I miss it. Football has that. College football has it. Pro football has it. The Olympics have it. Events have it. That's what an event means. It's the definition of an event. The second thing they want is to be a part of it. They want to be a part of it. My kids want to be a part of stuff that's going on because that is their expectation. When I was young, I just watched. Being a sports fan was a passive activity. I had no desire or expectation that I would be a part of what was going on. Today, with fantasy football especially, young people are. They're a part of what's going on. Plus, their connection to the players is totally different from mine. I remember seeing Ken O'Brien one time as a kid. My father got us into that club where you go and after a game, at a Jet game, you could go and you could eat. You know, that was like that private club you could go to. I don't even remember how we got in, but somehow we're in there. And Ken O'Brien walks in, who was quarterback of the Jets then. I almost fainted. I was like, Dad, that's Ken O'Brien. He walks among us. Like he's an NFL quarterback. I couldn't ever be in the same room with him. I certainly don't know anything about him. That he was walking with a woman. I was like, Dad, I think Ken O'Brien might be married. Like, I didn't know anything about Ken O'Brien except that he was the quarterback of the Jets. And that's the point. These days, these guys are intimately connected to the fans. So this guy, Jake Paul, who, again, I think it's pretty safe to say that if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't know who he was. But I'm acutely aware of who he and Logan Paul are, largely because a few years ago, when my son was a little too young, we banned him from following them on YouTube because there was a lot of stuff on there that I didn't want Stevie seeing when he was 12 or 13. Well, we're long past that now. But my point is these guys are megastars, and the reason they are is because they make a connection with young people. My son has never met and will never meet Jake Paul, but thinks he knows him intimately. And that's kind of the missing piece of the puzzle here with sports. Athletes, the ones that are doing that, I think, are rapidly ascending. So the guys with their big profiles on social media and all the rest of that, Juju Smith-Schuster is the best example I can think of that. That's why he's doing TikTok dances on the opposing team's logo. Not because he's trying to be disrespectful to the other teams. It's because it's what his fans want. And he has connected. My son will say, Dad, Juju Smith-Schuster is the most lit player in the NFL. And that's why. And he cares about that more than he cares about how many touchdowns he scores. So that's fascinating to me. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to ask the members of the hashtag crew, was this fight on your radar this weekend? Like, was this something that you were paying attention to? Was it something you watched? Was it something that you cared about? I can't believe I'm even asking this, but could it have been something that you would have been willing to bet on? We'll talk about that and more as we continue in a moment. Tim Hasselbeck is on the way as well. Right now, a word from Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. I'm Greeny on ESPN Radio. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Greeny, the podcast.
Haha, that's right. Beatles all day long. They're the theme of the Green List today, literally and figuratively, and we'll explain exactly why and how coming up. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Quickly, Hembo, are you leading me to believe that people are tweeting about our topic? The question is, and I asked it facetiously, would anyone buy an engagement ring without deciding who they're giving it to? Is there exists somewhere in this world a man or a woman who has a ring that they just bought to have it so that they're ready when the moment comes but haven't bought it with the intention of giving it to anyone in person? I can't believe anyone would do that. What are you telling me is on Twitter?
Rooney Jack tweeted the show and said, I bought a ring in my 20s for that very purpose.
What is the matter with Jack? I want some. Is that the entirety of the tweet?
That's the entirety of the tweet.
Look up Jack's bio. I want to know something else about Jack. I question the veracity of this. I just don't believe that
it's true. His bio reads, lover of all things freaky.
I really don't know what to make of that. I mean, aren't we all? I just don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And it dates back to or ties back to my belief that if you're the 49ers, you don't just trade up to the third pick in the draft because you're kind of hoping whoever is there works out well for you. You went up there to get someone in particular. You didn't just buy this ring and think, I'll give it to one of the people who might be there. I know three women. I like them a lot. I'll give it to one of the three of them.
How about The Bachelor? I mean, have you ever seen The Bachelor?
Is not real life. I just want to make sure you're aware that no one walks around living that way, just handing roses to women or sending them on their way. If this is a way people actually conduct their lives, you should be aware I'm not familiar with it. So the point is, when you go to a restaurant, when you have specifically chosen a restaurant because they have one signature or famous dish, you go there and you order that dish. You don't ask for the menu. And what that basically is telling us is the 49ers are doing all they're doing for this Trey Lance Pro Day because they have not made up their minds they're drafting Mac Jones. I've been telling you from the beginning, Lance is the guy they're going to take. In the meantime, I was fascinated by the amount of attention that this fight between Jake Paul and Ben Askren got over the weekend. And I will remind, or I will, for those of you just joining me here, I will say again, had it not been for my 18-year-old son, I don't know to what degree this would have been on my radar. I couldn't have missed it when I woke up Sunday morning, and it was the only thing that was trending. But Saturday, I was very much aware of the buildup to it and the anticipation of it because my son and his friends were all so into it. They were so into this. And so I'm aware that it was Justin Bieber and it was Snoop Dogg and it was all these famous people. It was a show. It wasn't a fight. It was a show. The fight was part of the show and they were all in. So I'm curious because everyone who works on the show is younger than I am. And so we'll take this in descending age order. Nuno, besides me, you're the oldest person on the show. Was this fight on your radar this weekend, Nuno?
Nope.
Not at all. Were you even aware it was happening until after it had happened?
I noticed on Saturday night when I was on Twitter that people were talking about the performances, not even the fight.
Right.
But they were talking about the performances.
Yeah, like Bieber and Snoop and stuff like that. That's what people were into. The next oldest person on this show, I think, is Bubba.
Oh, yeah.
Was this... And Bubba is a whole other level of hip, you should know. I mean, Bubba is very connected to a lot of these celebrities, has worked in different capacities for many of them, including both Jake and Logan Paul. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, do I have this right? Were you actually an au pair for the Paul family when they were young? Did you work and help take care of them in their youth?
No, that's just the first thing you have wrong.
Okay,
yeah, that was wrong.
So no. Not quite, but I know you.
I don't
have
know
a
where
connection.
You got that one. That one's wrong.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure where that came from, but yeah, one no. Where I had been led to believe that. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, that's got to change the Wikipedia. That one's wrong.
Did you watch the fight?
No, I did not. I was aware of it. I did hear about it in advance. I knew it was happening, but had absolutely zero interest and did not care at all.
Hembo is the next oldest on the show. Hembo, was this on your radar?
0%.
Zero.
Zero. I didn't know of it until. I woke up Sunday morning and saw some videos on Twitter.
I got one more shot at this thing. Devin, was this on your radar or not?
Not only wasn't it on my radar, but I'm not staying up till like 12:30 or 1 to watch fights. I'm sorry.
Devin.
Not happening.
You're 29 years old. You're not staying up until 12:30 or 1?
It's too late. It is way too late for me. I'm in bed. And I'm sleeping.
It's past your bedtime.
100%.
And now I feel a need to follow up on this line of questioning. What were you doing on Saturday night that you were too busy to see this?
I was sleeping.
What did you do prior to sleeping? At whatever point it is you went to bed, what had you previously done?
A whole lot of nothing, actually.
Devin, we need to have a conversation. I mean, we'll do this off the air.
I got my windshield wipers. That's
yes,
what I did.
Did we fix the windshield wiper?
Windshield wipers were fixed and golf shoes were bought.
Okay. So this is pathetic. Anyway, the point that I'm making here... is that what this demonstrates is that more than at any other time before, the future of sports is in events. This was a show. I said about a month ago, or whenever it was they were talking about the possibility of another Tyson fight, I would buy the Tyson fight. And the reason is because you're not buying a fight, you're buying a show. The night that Mike Tyson bit off part of Evander Holyfield's ear, and I kept watching on pay-per-view, as one ambulance was taking Holyfield to the hospital and another ambulance was carrying the ear, I thought to myself, this might be the most entertained I've ever been. And whatever it is this cost, it was well worth it. And that's what this is. So this isn't high quality boxing. This wasn't like Ray Robinson in the ring. But it was a show. And it was a show people are interested in. And so the lesson is, the next generation of sports fans, that's what they want. That's what they're into, Hembo. Whether you, because you're not that. You're a very unique. Like I love you, but you're a very unusual person.
Thank you.
Particularly for your age, but you're unusual for anyone. You're old by 70-year-old standards. Okay, like most of the people I know who are much older than you are much younger than you. So you're a terrible example on this. But all I'm saying is that is the future of sports.
Do you not think that your son and his friends will become more sports fans like you and I
no,
are, though?
You I
think
do
not. This is the world, because this is the world they grew up in. This is the world that they will come to expect as adults.
This is their world. My son sits and watches football with mm-hmm. me every Sunday. He's got two things. He's got the laptop open on his lap, which he's following our DraftKings lineup and okay. how we're doing against everybody else. Mm-hmm. And he's got his phone in his hand. And as these games are going on, he is Snapchatting with his friends. He's playing video games nonstop. And he misses absolutely nothing that is happening
so
on the TV.
He won't just watch a game with you without any other screens.
Never.
What's the longest period of time that would go like that could happen for? Like a quarter?
Have you ever heard of Vine? Their attention span is 6 seconds long, literally 6 seconds. That generation's attention span is 6 seconds long. And I'm not an old man sitting here complaining about it. I'm telling the people who run sports mm-hmm. today, that's your future. That's your future. All right, Tim Hasselbeck going to join me live coming up in just a moment. We'll go through all these quarterbacks in the draft, and we will set aside some time, pardon me, for some calls as well. I'll let you know exactly how next. I'm Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
Aha. Sergeant Julius Peppers, Lonely Hearts Club Band, Greeny with you, and I'll explain in just a moment how the Beatles and sports came together to create today's Green List. We come to you live every day from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase. Tim Hasselbeck is going to join me here, and then your hot takes are coming up right after that. So you can dial it up now if you don't mind sitting on hold for a few minutes. We'll do a couple minutes with Tim, and then we'll take your calls. We haven't done our hot takes for Monday yet, but we will. Your hot takes. I'm serving them up hot. I want your hottest takes of the day today at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Your calls, your hot takes coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, a quick reminder from 1-800-Flowers.com that Mother's Day is around the corner, and you need to lock in your place as the golden child by ordering mom's bouquet early from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now at 1-800-Flowers, you get 36 sorbet roses for just $36. It's an impressive mix of pastel shades, pink, orange, lavender. They sent one to the house. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. They're the official florist of Mother's Day, 1-800-Flowers.com. I would never order flowers anywhere else. To order 36 sorbet roses for $36, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon. Enter the code Greeny. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter Greeny. Hurry, because the offer expires on Friday. And with that in mind, it is my pleasure to welcome the one, the only Tim Hasselbeck with me here on ESPN Radio to talk quarterbacks and more. Hello again, Tim Hasselbeck.
Hey, Greeny.
So it made your take on this, which you and I shared this morning, which is to say you and I agreed on this in Get Up, has been a running theme on our show today, and I would like to just sort of give you the floor again to dive into this. But the idea that the San Francisco 49ers are going to the lengths they are to orchestrate a pro day for Trey Lance and to, you know, put him together with a quarterback coach that to script this, that they trust and like, and all the rest of it. Like, that's not something you do if you've already made up your mind you're drafting someone else. The Jaguars aren't doing it. The Jets aren't doing it because they know what they're doing. So to me, this only makes sense. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, the 49ers, you know, as you kind of, you know, outlined on Get Up this morning, they've asked, you know, Trey Lance to do a workout with a specific quarterback coach that Kyle Shanahan has a relationship with. And so I don't think that you do that, nor do I think that the agent for Trey Lance would, you know, I guess recommend or allow his client to work out for that player without some type of feeling like the 49ers are legitimately interested in maybe drafting Trey Lance. And, you know, I think this close, you know, inside 2 weeks to the draft, I think this idea that, like, they're still undecided on the pick when they, you know, leverage so many draft choices to go move to the number three spot, I just don't think that is reality. And so I think that maybe there's a sense of, you know, everyone buying the smokescreen of Mac Jones back when that was the story of Mac Jones going 3 to the 9.
Maybe. And you were sort of ahead of the curve on saying, And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said it on Get Up, something to the effect of, he's a good prospect, mm-hmm. but to trade all the way up there to take Mac Jones at number three didn't make sense to you. And that really was where I first started thinking about this. So it does present the possibility, Tim, as we sit and we start speculating how many quarterbacks are going to go off the board immediately. Will we get four in a row? Will we get five in the first seven or eight picks? It does, I think, present one possibility, which is if Mac Jones slides past three, is anyone grabbing him so quickly? Like, I can get people trading up to grab Justin Fields. Are people frantically trading up to get Mac Jones?
I don't believe so. And, you know, I think for me, one of the things I try to do is I watch these guys and then I make my own opinion about it. I think early on when I, you know, got out of playing and got into – you know, watching these quarterbacks and talking about them in preparation for the draft, is early on I would listen to what people said too much. And I would have it affect my opinion. I told you a story on Get Up, you know, a week ago where somebody at the Giants, who I, you know, consider to be a close friend, you know, lied to me about how they felt about Daniel Jones. Now, I never was on TV talking about, you know, Daniel Jones based on what they'd said to me. But it just was like confirmation to me that, like, you can't trust what other people say. So Greeny, the reason I bring that up is what I have seen from Mac Jones, I think he is a really good prospect, okay? But I think that it's undeniable that he has athletic deficiencies when you consider the type of players that get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. And so that's my position on it. So, no, I don't believe that there would be teams climbing up, you know, to get Mac Jones, which is why I think it's surprising that, or it's still hard for me to believe that that's what the Niners were doing.
Which does lead us to the possibility, as Timmy is breaking moves.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
With us here on ESPN Radio, it does bring the specter of Belichick back into this. I've said all along that I feel like Jones is the right guy for Bill, because they had an offense that worked extraordinarily well for an extraordinarily long time. It involved a quarterback who has similar skill set, super smart, not dynamic athletically, great arm, all that stuff. Now, again, I'm out of my mind to be sitting here saying that Mac Jones is the next Tom Brady. We'd probably live the whole rest of our lives and no one will be the next Tom Brady. But that's kind of the same skill set. So it feels to me like if Mac Jones starts to fall, that it would make sense to me that New England might be the team that would go up to get him, not at four or something like that. But if he falls to 10, 11, 12, that's when I could see Belichick making a move. How do you like him in that offense?
Yeah, I think that I understand it. And the comparisons, but you know, you kind of touched on it. Like, you know, Brady is this ridiculous draft outlier, and even his skill set in terms of lack of mobility, that's like New England hasn't drafted that player after drafting Tom, right? Like, think about Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett. Like, the quarterbacks that they have drafted haven't been like, all right, let's find this other pure pocket passer and draft him. So while I think it worked with Brady because Brady was Brady, I don't think that that's necessarily the skill set that Bill Belichick is looking for. You know, I mean, look, they signed Cam Newton. He threw like 10 touchdown passes, and then they re-signed him again.
Yeah.
I don't see that as the skill set. They may love him as a player, but I don't think that he's looking for that skill set.
Fair. That's fair. And maybe not. And I don't wish this on anyone, but it could be that Mac Jones winds up being the player who falls a little bit in this draft. Again, he's not going to fall that far. And we will wait and see. Greeny and Tim Hasselbeck, presented by Progressive Insurance. He is on the Goodyear hotline. Quickly, because we've spent so much time on these five quarterbacks, what work have you done? I have four others that I'm projecting will likely go maybe probably Friday, maybe one or two of them slip over to the fourth round. But they are Kellen Mond, in no particular order, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, and Jamie Newman. They feel like the next four quarterbacks. What work have you done on those guys, and what, if anything, has jumped out to you as something you like?
Yeah, so I've watched all of those guys. You know, Mond is interesting because, you know, athletically, I think that he kind of, you know, athletically, he's super impressive. I mean, his, you know, the size athleticism is undeniable. You know, the throwing motion is a little elongated, and I think, you know, probably needs some refinement. You know, the guy that I think is super, super interesting is Jamie Newman. Jamie Newman, I've seen quite a bit because I called a number of Wake Forest games back when he was there. He's a really accurate passer and a really, really strong runner. Like, in some ways, he's kind of, you know, this is not meant to be an insult, you know, to him, but like almost in some ways like a poor man's Justin Fields. And, but he's got great poise in the pocket. It's kind of a unique offense they ran at Wake Forest. And I think had he stayed at Wake and not transferred to Georgia and had things turn out the way that they did, where he sits out the year, I think he would have had a monster year at Wake Forest. He would have played against good enough competition. And I think that he probably would have ended up getting drafted sooner than he will this year. But I think in the right spot, he could end up being a very good player.
Yep, he's one that a lot of people have their eye on. You see him showing up in these mock drafts, third round, fourth round. It's a name to remember. Tim Hasselbeck, outstanding work today. It was a pleasure. I hope I see you before the draft. Thank you, my man.
See you, Greeny.
All right, that's Tim Hasselbeck with me here on ESPN Radio. My phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN, and now it is time for you. The game, as always, is called What's on Your Mind. It is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And on Mondays, it's time for your hot takes. I want you to serve them up hot. 888-729-3776. Anything you saw this weekend, anything that's on your mind looking ahead to the draft or the baseball or the hoops or whatever it is that you're thinking about, 888-SAY-ESPN, your hot takes are right now here with Greeny on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's first up?
First up is Lucas.
All right, Lucas, you're on with us here. Give me a hot take.
Hey, Greeny, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. What do you got?
So I don't know if this is just a hopeful Giants fan in me or somewhat of a realist, but I think Daniel Jones is going to cement himself as the Giants franchise quarterback this season. And I can't find a good way to word this, but I think Daniel Jones at the end of the year will have four times as many touchdowns as he does interceptions. That's my hot take.
Okay, I like it. You know what? I'm in. I'm 100% in on that. I'm a buyer on Daniel Jones. I liked him coming into the draft. I don't know that I liked him six overall. But as we've always said, if you wind up getting a good quarterback, it really doesn't make any difference where you took him. They got to figure out their offensive line. The problem with the Giants is every year they address their offensive line, and every year it gets worse. I don't know how that's possible, but they do it. They took Andrew Thomas last year ahead of all of the tackles. Wirfs and Wills and Becton. But I think there's reason for optimism. Maybe they add, what do they add? They pick at 11. What do they add? They could add among, there's a million different options. One of the really good offensive weapons could fall to them. Devontae Smith, maybe. Jalen Waddle, maybe. Someone like that. They could add an offensive lineman. Someone like Elijah Vera Tucker from USC could be there. I don't think they're going to take one of the big tackles. He's a guard that I'm talking about, Vera Tucker. Maybe they go best available defensive player. Whatever it is they wind up doing. Yes, I'm a believer in Daniel Jones, and I think if the right pieces are in place around him, I think he could be good. 888-SAY-ESPN. Hot takes. Bubba, who's next?
Andrew in New York.
Andrew, give me a hot take. Andrew.
Let's go, Andrew.
Did we lose Andrew? You're upsetting Bubba. We seem to have lost Andrew, but it was fun while it lasted. Bubba, who's next?
Let's try Robert in
Robert,
New York.
Robert, give me a hot take.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show. And
thank you.
Very happy to be talking to you right now.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about how after the Knicks beat the Pelicans yesterday, they were talking about how Zion Williamson loves to play at New York, and now they're talking about how maybe in 3 years he can play with us. Why are we talking about how the Knicks are on a six-game win streak, and we should really be focusing on the good, not about what's happening in 3 years?
I'll tell you why. I like the position. I've heard a few other people say that. Here's the problem. What the Knicks are doing is very similar to what the Brooklyn Nets did a couple of years ago, which is they're establishing themselves as a team that has a culture and a little bit of a foundation that good players might want to be a part of. They don't stink. They're not embarrassing. They're not terrible. But ultimately, you can have a six-game winning streak, and you can make the playoffs and maybe even win a round, and all that is great. And by the New York Knicks standards, that's a freaking unbelievable accomplishment right this minute. But that doesn't make you a championship contender. You don't contend for a championship in the NBA anymore without a legit superstar on your team. Julius Randle is a very nice player. Maybe he's even developing into that, but he can't do that alone. You need one more. You need someone to choose them. So will it be Zion? And that's still a long way away. There'll be other opportunities between now and then. But the way LeBron chose where he went and the way KD and Kyrie and ultimately Harden chose where they went and the way all these guys now in the NBA choose where they're going, no matter who you're a fan of, you need to be the team that these guys are going to choose to go play for. It's almost impossible in this day and age to build a championship team without that. I really believe that. So that's the reason why people are talking about that. I understand the frustration. Enjoy watching what you're watching if you're a fan, because it's good. It's certainly way better than what you've gotten used to. But it's not a championship caliber until you add something else. Greening on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Paul.
Paul, give me a hot take, Paul.
Hey, Greeny, thanks for taking my call.
Thank
I'm going to tell you, this is the best NFL draft we've ever seen. The drama, the intrigue, teams valuing different players all over the boards because we don't have a combine. We're going to see a draft night, a draft few nights, that are going to blow us away as far as TV value and production. I can't wait to enjoy it. Thanks, Greeny. Have a good one.
Well, are you producing my show?
That was a nice promo.
He's producing The Draft on ESPN next Thursday and Friday with Greeny, Lewis Riddick, Booger McFarlane, Mel Kiper Jr., Morton Adam will be there, Susie Culber will be there. He just gave us the promo. You might see history made. There was no combine. You never know how crazy things are going to get. I love the promo, and I appreciate it. Give me one more, Big Bubs.
We got Coop.
All right, Coop. You're on ESPN Radio. Give me a hot take, Coop.
Hey, Green. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thank you.
Just wanted to call in about my Eagles. Maybe a hot take, but I believe Jalen Hurts is going to have a breakout season. We're gearing up to have a good year. I know we're the dark horse of the NFC East, but I believe that everyone is sleeping on us, and we'll have a breakout year. I claim us getting one of these top receivers, and Jalen Hurts being in one of the top 10 quarterbacks of the year.
I like it. Top 10 might be a stretch, but that's what this year is about. This year is about starting the process. You have three first-round picks next year. You kind of have a win-win scenario at quarterback, which is to say if Jalen Hurts continues on the trajectory that we think we saw the last quarter of last season and he's great, fabulous. You're building around an incredibly inexpensive quarterback for two more years. If he's not, then you probably have another high pick and you have the opportunity to try and package all your picks to trade to Seattle for Russell Wilson. I think that feels like a very real possibility. Now, Hembo, you're an Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles picking at 12, they took themselves out of the quarterback running. They were sitting there at 6. I think they did the right thing. They traded themselves back. What do you want to see them do at number 12?
Best player available. The Eagles have needs all over the football field. They're in no position right now to be particular about which position they draft. But luckily, because there are going to be at least 4, if not 5 quarterbacks go before 12, my expectation is that a blue chip prospect will fall to 12 that in most years will not have gotten out of the top 10.
I think that's fair. I think that's probably right, and it probably will happen. All right, you know what? I'm going to do a little breaking news here. In the last 7 minutes, Adam Schefter just tweeted, Alex Smith has announced he's retiring on Instagram. Alex Smith, who had a terrific NFL career. He was the first pick in the draft coming out of Utah. He wound up being drafted by an absolutely terrible and dysfunctional San Francisco 49ers team that couldn't figure out how to get out of its own way until they got Jim Harbaugh there. He had, I don't remember the exact number, an infinite number of offensive coordinators in a short period of time. Managed to keep things together. Played well under Harbaugh, lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, and then went from place to place and continued to play well. Played well in Kansas City, saved their bacon in Washington last year, and will most importantly be remembered for having come back to play in the NFL after suffering an injury to his leg that at one point threatened his leg and maybe even his life. And when when Washington decided they were going to move on from him this offseason, Ron Rivera very honestly said, I was scared to death putting him out there. Scared to death that I'm going to be the guy who put him out there and he's going to get seriously hurt again. And I think that that's the reality here. I just don't think any team wanted to be the team. Look, he's more than valuable enough to be someone's bridge quarterback or something like that, just taking everything else out of the equation. But do you want to be the coach that puts him out there? I would be not at all surprised if that ultimately, not outspoken, not that this will be spoken aloud, but that ultimately is the reason why no team wound up signing him. So congratulations, Alex, on a terrific career of which you should be enormously proud, and on a story of perseverance that I think inspired millions of people. By the way, we had him on the day after the Super Bowl to give him a little trial run on this show as an analyst. He's going to be a great analyst. So there's a spot available for you here if that's what you're interested in, Alex, for sure. See you tomorrow. I'm Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can check out Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Also, don't miss Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 Eastern on ESPN. This is Greeny, the podcast.